I want to give you just a short little sweet message today, short and sweet, and it really is kind of encompasses all of these celebrations and all these things that we do to honor people, and that is, let me just start with a question. How about that? Who are you boosting? It's a great question. Who are you boosting? You know, rockets surge into outer space. They go beyond the atmosphere of the Earth, the gravitational pull of the Earth. And the only way they're able to get out of that intense pressure is because there are boosters. There are rocket boosters on the sides or behind or under that rocket to get it into orbit. And we've seen that, you know. In fact, I have a video I want to show you here in a second of a rocket going up in space. We've seen it, most of us. Our lives started back in the 60s, sending things up into outer space. And SpaceX has taken it to a whole nother level. So I want you to watch this video of this new dimension of the rocket booster. Check it out.
Seconds into flight, under the power of 5.1 million pounds of thrust, Falcon Heavy is headed to space. We're throttling down at T plus 40 seconds to prepare for maximum dynamic pressure.
Power telemetry are nominal.
We're hearing reports. Power and telemetry are nominal.
Vehicle is supersonic.
You may have heard the call out on net one. Vehicle is supersonic. Side boosters are throttling back up on power as we're through the period of maximum dynamic pressure.
Pico.
Booster separation confirmed.
Successful separation, if you can hear me over the cheering. Side boosters now beginning a flip to begin returning back to Cape Canaveral. Side boosters have begun the boost back burn. The center core has throttled back up to power. Everything looking good on the flight of Falcon Heavy. The next major event, main engine cutoff of the center core and separation ignition of the second stage.
Coming up in about 5 seconds here, the side booster's landing burn will begin as well.
Okay, check this out. This is so cool. You see the boosters coming back down. Isn't that amazing? It's like, it looks fake to me. I've watched too many movies, you know, like that's fake. That happened. Like, so typically, you know, for years, especially when we watched the space shuttle go up, those boosters would just fall off. And I loved hearing all of them cheering on the video. It says, you know, with successful separation. That's a big, big moment when the rocket is in orbit and able to function without the booster, so that the boosters separate. And in the old days, they would just go off and land somewhere, land in the ocean, land wherever. Now, SpaceX and these phenomenal scientists have found a way for them to land back down on those pads, and one of them was in an ocean, to figure out where it's going to go and how to land it and all that kind of stuff. Just absolutely amazing. And then what's going to happen? Those boosters are going to be refueled and retooled. They're going to be put back on another rocket, and it's going to boost another rocket. So once that rocket, satellite, whatever, gets up out of the atmosphere of the Earth and it's in orbit, then it just requires a much, much smaller amount of thrust in order to get it to where it needs to go, because there's a lot less restriction, a lot less atmosphere there to inhibit the flow of, or the path of where it's supposed to go. So this booster sends the rocket on a certain trajectory, and I hate that word, it's like the hardest word for me to ever say. Trajectory, there we go. Trajectory. Let's all say it together. See, you sound terrible too. Okay. Anyway, so it sends it on its path. How about that? Sends it on its path and makes sure it gets in the right space, and then there's this separation. So if we only live our life boosting ourselves, we're going to just wallow in a quagmire of discontent. But I believe God has called us and he's created us to boost other people onto the path that he's called them. People have boosted me. I am here to boost other people to get them into the trajectory of what God wants them to be in their life. The orbit, the ministry, the passion, the flow of what God wants for them to be in their life. So all throughout the Bible, there's many, many boosters. In fact, I want to encourage you, as you're reading the Bible from this point, start looking for the boosters in the Bible. These are the classiest people in the Bible. These are the ones that don't get the headlines. These are the people that helped someone else get the headline in the Bible. And I want to run down just like three or four of these to kind of get an idea of what I'm talking about. One of the people in the Old Testament was Caleb. And many of you don't even know where that was found in the Bible. Caleb was one of the spies of Israelites that went into the promised land to scope it out and figure out what was going on when all the Israelites were waiting to enter into the promised land. They sent in spies to figure it out. Caleb and Joshua were the only two spies that came back with a positive report. And Caleb was older than Joshua. Caleb had more experience than Joshua. And he was obviously spiritually strong like Joshua was. And so when it came time for Moses to step back, Moses was going to die. Moses was not going to take them into the promised land. Who would be the leader of the Israelites taking them into the promised land? Well, a lot of people would have said, well, that's going to be Caleb. But in fact, it wasn't. It was Joshua. Joshua was the one, a little more younger, a little less experienced. And so what's Caleb going to do? You know, how is he going to posture himself for the rest of his life? Well, it's a beautiful thing. Caleb decided to be a booster for Joshua, to help Joshua get to where God wanted him to be. This is really one of the words that come to mind is integrity. Just to be a person, a booster is someone with integrity, that is able to do something for God, for others, in an act of humility, in an act of service. That's why, you know, the word classy is just a great word for this. These are the classy people, the classiest folks in the Bible. Another one is Jonathan, Saul's son. Saul was the king of Israel. The normal progression is for the king's son to then become the next king. And it was clear because of Saul's sin that that was not going to happen. And so Jonathan could have been very bitter. He could have been very upset. He could have been mad at God. He could have been mad at the guy that's coming up to be king, who is David. He could have been very bitter at David and tried to harm David and kill David like his dad was doing. But instead, Jonathan decided to be a booster. He was going to boost David and help David get to where God wanted David to be, in the orbit of being king. It's an incredible story of Jonathan, how he loved David and he served David selflessly Actually, he went to his death. He died with his father for David to advance to be the king. Just an incredible story. But one of the biggest boosters of the Bible is probably Joseph, Mary's husband, who was a stepfather, you could say, to Jesus. And many scholars believe that Joseph died before Jesus became this big public figure, because there's actually no record of him in the Bible after Jesus is 12 years of age. And most people believe he would have been written in there somewhere if it's still been around. So here's the point. You know, Mary comes to him and says, I'm pregnant. And he's like, what in the world? This couldn't be for me because we've never been together in that way. And he could have left her. He could have abandoned her, gone about his life. But no, he decides to stay with her and trust God. And so he's a booster for his wife, Mary, which in that day and time was completely, completely not the standard. Standard would have been probably death for Mary. But instead, he said, I'm going to boost my wife. I'm going to help my wife. And then this child that she's bearing and going to give birth to, I'm going to boost him. And so he just becomes a faithful husband, a faithful provider for the family. He's a carpenter. He works with his hands. He does amazing things in order to provide for the family and to put Jesus where Jesus should be. He does everything he can to be a booster. Most people don't talk about Joseph a whole lot. He doesn't have a headline because Jesus has a headline. And Mary has the headlines. And so here's Joseph. He's a booster, and he's just kind of behind the scenes. But I really want to focus on one man in particular today. You probably never have heard a message about him. Maybe you have, but most likely not. I don't remember one. His name was Barnabas. Barnabas was a man that came to salvation after Jesus resurrected from the dead. And so he was a very successful man. He was wealthy and had a lot of resources. Acts, the 4th chapter, says that he sold property and gave 100% of it to the local church. Just incredibly generous man. He received salvation, received the power of the gospel, and wanted to live it out. And so Barnabas decides to be a booster wherever he goes. So he helps build the church of Antioch. He's one of the founders of that church, which is the first place where people were called Christians. And there was this man on the scene named Paul, who everybody was scared of because Paul had murdered people that were Christian because they were Christian. And now all of a sudden he's seen the light, literally, and he's a follower of Jesus now, supposedly. And so Paul would go into villages and towns, and instead of just everybody saying, oh yeah, come on in, they were scared of him. They were afraid for their life because they were like, is he really converted, or is he just faking us out, or what? It was Barnabas that would go with Paul and tell everybody, no, it's okay. It's okay. This is for real. He really was converted. And so it was Barnabas who was the booster of Paul to get Paul on the trajectory that God wanted him to be on, because he had so many hurdles. He had so much gravitational pull trying to keep him out of God's plan and out of God's will. But he needed somebody to help him get to where God wanted him to go. So Barnabas was this incredible man that did that. I want to read to you Acts, the 11th chapter, the 24th verse. It says, Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. If you want to know how to be a good booster, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Talked about that last week. And by the way, a little plug for Wednesday night. This coming first Wednesday, the first Wednesday of June, June 2nd, we're going to have a Holy Ghost night, okay? Jonathan Suber's going to be here. Great, great man of God. So come on and be filled with us on Wednesday night. Anyway, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith. Look at this last sentence. And many people were brought to the Lord. Just a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, strong in the faith, and because of that, he boosted people into the faith so that they could be in relationship with God. So, his nephew is named John Mark. He was a young man, in fact, a teenager, and so Paul and Barnabas were about to go on one of their big missionary trips, and Barnabas says, you know what, it's time for me to help boost somebody else, so we're going to take my teenager with us. He's 17 years old. He's going to come with us, and they go on their trip. They go out over the sea. They get to Europe, and they start traveling around, and right when Paul and Barnabas are starting in this first village, his nephew, John Mark, gets homesick and says, I'm going to head out. And he leaves and goes back home and basically abandons Paul and Barnabas to do the ministry and takes a boat back. Well, great things happen on this trip. Paul and Barnabas keep building churches. The word of God spreads. People are saved, healed, set free, amazing things. They go home. They go back to Israel, celebrating this great thing. Great things happened. Time passes, and now it's time for them to go out on the next trip, the next journey. And this is where we pick up in Acts 15:36. It says, after some time, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing. Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along little nephew again. John Mark, and Paul says, no, I don't want that to happen. Look at the next verse. It says, Paul disagreed strongly since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. Their disagreement was so sharp that they what? They separated. And Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul went this way. This is a part in Scripture that's kind of tough to read. You may think, well, why are they fighting? Why, you know, they should come to agreement. Well, there's just sometimes that it's time to go separate ways. And it's an okay thing to go separate ways and find a way to be in the Lord and disagree. It's okay to disagree, but go separate ways. And so Paul goes this way, and Barnabas and John Mark go this way. And I love on that video when they're clapping about the separation of the booster and the rocket. There's been successful separation. I think sometimes in the church, we try to hold on to things. We try to hold on to things in our life and don't realize that it's time for the next phase. It's time for the next season in your life. It's time to let go of some things, maybe some people in your life, and let them go do what God's called them to do, and you go do what God's called you to do, and that's okay. So it's painful in the moment, but it's a God thing. And so what does Barnabas do? He goes, man, I believe in what God's doing in John Mark. And so Barnabas clings to John Mark, and they go on their way, and they do amazing things. And Paul goes on his way, and he does amazing things. And then we fast forward many years, and Paul's at the end of his journey. Paul is tired. He's old. He's I've fought the fight, I've run the race, and he's writing a letter to Timothy, who's another young man that he's boosting, and he says, basically, everyone has left me. It's pretty tough, you know, it's a pretty sad thing. At this point in his life, he just has Luke with him, that's all that's with him, and Luke's a great man. He says, everybody has left me but Luke. And look what 2 Timothy 4:11 says. He says, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. This is such a beautiful picture of the full circle ministry of what can happen when people are following after the will of God and the work of God. He has been very tough. It's been a very tough life. It's been a very difficult life. At the beginning, it didn't work out. But over time, this is really the reason why. Because Barnabas kept boosting people. And he didn't give up on John Mark. He's like, no, John Mark, let's go. Let's do this. He helped John Mark get to a place to where when Paul was at the end of his life, he says, the guy I need right now is John Mark. Many years ago, it wasn't working, but now he's the only guy I need. Please send him to me. I need help. John Mark goes on to do many great things, drops the name John, and Mark is the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Beautiful thing. When God keeps using people, boosting other people, and keeps on going and going. There's a quote that, I don't know the source, source is unknown, but it says this, a candle loses nothing by lighting another candle. Think about that for a second. Isn't that great? We think that we're going to be so expended, our energy, our love, our compassion, our time is going to be so expended by investing in other people that we won't have time for ourselves or for our other loved ones. And just a few weeks ago, we were talking about adoption and foster care and things like that. And one of the first things that people always say, I said this, Erica didn't say this, but I said this when we started foster care and adoption process was, am I going to be able to love someone that's not my biological child? Do I have enough love for that? Can I do that? Is that possible? And I love this quote. It just says, yeah, it is possible. And when you read scripture over and over and over, the love of God never ends. It just keeps on coming forth. It keeps on coming forth, keeps on coming forth. And what we talked about last week was out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. I love that. The passage talks about this continual flowing of God's love that's going to come forth from you if you'll just keep finding vessels to pour it into. Keep boosting other people. The boosters, you know, don't get famous. Boosting isn't glamorous. In fact, what happens in the rocket process is that that booster falls away, and there's a space of time before the rocket ever does what it's supposed to do. It's just in orbit for a while. So the booster is like gone, heading back to Earth, and the rocket or the satellite or whatever has a job to do, but it's still going for a while. And sometimes there's a disconnect between the booster and the rocket to know that, did this even work? Should I keep doing this? Is what I'm doing working? A great example of this is Catherine Turnell. She grew up in Central Texas in a town of 50 people, which literally to this day, Placid, Texas is an actual ghost town. Like, you can see old buildings that are abandoned and dilapidated. She rode a horse to school, and never went to college. Her husband built houses, but she built homes. She was a homemaker. And she made it her mission in life to boost others, to boost her husband, to boost her neighbors, to boost her two daughters, to boost church members, to boost grandkids. And there's many times that the rockets she was boosting would fall back down to the earth. In fact, one of the people she was highly, highly invested in at one point shot someone. He went to prison, a felon. What did she do? Loved him, forgave him, picked him up, dusted him off, kept boosting, kept believing. She was very gentle, never spoke a harsh word, never spoke a judgmental word, not a public speaker, not a businesswoman, was never in the paper. There was no paper in Placid, but in Brady, the big town, had a little paper, never in it. But she kept boosting everyone she came in contact with. When she was in her late 80s, like 88 years old, she had a massive stroke, and all of us that knew her thought that this was it. This is going to be the end at 88. How do you have a massive stroke? So bad that she lost complete use of one side of her body. Couldn't use her arm, couldn't use her leg. She goes into a wheelchair at 88, and we think there's just a few months, there's just a few years. Well, she just kept on boosting. God had plans for her life in that season. Just didn't give up. Just kept going, kept going, kept going. Eventually, my mom moved my grandmother here. Talking about my grandma. Moved my grandma here to San Marcos. We call her Mimi. And her condition got so tough that we couldn't take care of her at home. So she got moved into a care facility where she could get 24-hour nursing. And we would visit her, and again, we thought, well, this is it, you know, this is the end. But God had more plans for Mimi. She was going to keep boosting people in San Marcos in a nursing home. Every nurse that came by, every doctor that came by, people that we didn't know would start reaching out to us about how much my grandma had talked to them and helped them. And she kept, at 100 years of age, boosting people without speeches or eloquent words. She could barely even speak, honestly, because of the stroke condition affecting the way she could articulate words. But people in her room, people from church would go visit her thinking, are they going to go help her? And they would keep going back because every time they'd go in the room, she would help them. And there was this addicting spirit. There was this river of living water that was flowing that you couldn't figure it out. It's like, how is that happening? What is going on there? How is it that I can receive this? It's because she had a heart to boost other people, never wanting the attention, never wanting the limelight, never needing it. Just had the mindset, I'm gonna boost other people. And I'm speaking to her in past tense because on Tuesday she went to be with the Lord, and she passed away. And I am so blessed to be here. I don't know what orbit I would be in. I'd be in some sort of orbit. But I'm in the orbit I'm in today because people like Catherine Turnell boosted me into the place where I am today. And not just her, but my parents and my pastors and my friends and mentors and my spouse boosting. Many people have boosted you, helped you be where you are today. So my question, I want to end with the question I started with, which is, so who now are you going to boost? Who has God put in your path that you can help get to where God wants them to be? You're going to put somebody in orbit. And I'm praying it's a godly orbit. So where are you taking people? Who are you taking and where are you taking them to? I want to pray today. Let's just pray right now. Would you join with me? And let's just respond to God. In the name of Jesus, Father, we come to you, and we're so grateful and thankful for the amazing idea and concept of one-on-one connection. That humans struggle to get where they need to go until another human, Lord, you made it. You designed it like this. You designed it to where we could link up together and help us get to the next spot. So I pray right now that every single one of us, even the young kids that are listening to me right now, maybe there's people on the other end of the spectrum and you would consider yourself older, advanced in age, and think, well, my life and my time is, you know, finished. My significance is over. Nope. Lord, stir in our hearts. Lord, show us a vision of how you can flow through us, how we can connect with other people, how we can help them get in our own way, our own personality. We don't have to be like everybody else. We can just be who you've created us, God, to be, with our own skill set, our own experience, our own passions and personalities. God, spiritual giftings that you've put into us. God, I pray that we would take these and go forward, keep pushing, keep boosting others, in Jesus' name. But I also want to pray today for anybody in the house or maybe watching online that's far from God and you would like a relationship with him personally. I have good news, no matter who you are, where you came from, what you've done this week, that God wants to have a relationship with you. And that you don't have to go fix your life and come back to him. But he wants you the way you are right now. He loves you and he has such a serious thought towards you. His love for you is so great that he has done everything necessary to come into your life right now. Instead of you having to figure out how to get to him. He's here. He's as close as the mention of his name. And so we say it right now. We say, Jesus, I give you my life today. Come on, let's pray this together. I surrender my heart to you. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my past. Lord, I surrender everything to you. I put it into your hands. I willingly do this, Lord, because you're so good. You're so awesome. I trust in you, Jesus. I'm so thankful for the sacrifice you made for me to forgive me, to strengthen me, to help me, to restore me. And so, Lord, I receive you into my heart, my life. I want to live for you from this day forward. Help me, God. Teach me, Lord. Fill me with your spirit, I pray. I'm available and I'm open to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, everybody say amen. 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 We want to connect with you. This is Healthy Soil. Promised Land is beautiful soil, welcoming soil for you. If you're brand new and you would like to connect with us, we want to connect with you. And so next Sunday, the first Sunday in June, we're going to have what's called Next Steps at our 11:30 service. We'd love for anyone in here to join with us. We'll cook you lunch. Since it's during our 11:30 service, your kids can go to children's ministry during 11:30. It starts right there at the beginning of the service. Join us in the student center. But in the meantime, we can connect with you this week, okay? We don't have to wait until next Sunday. There's a connection card in the seat back in front of you. You can fill that out. Put it in the box as you leave today. If you're online, you can fill out the, there should be a link that they're posting right now. Same process, same form. It just gives us a connection with you, an information point to connect with, and we'll reach out to you. So, awesome. If you're a college student, if you're a high school senior, we'd love for you to come back tonight to our collective night. If not, we'll hope to see you on Wednesday night for our first Wednesday worship, but you are dismissed. Have a wonderful and blessed week. We love you. God bless you.